like I've always done and always will.
Welcome to this special edition of New York Now. I'm Chantal Destra. As you know, this show has been dedicated to covering the policy and politics coming out of the state capitol for decades. Given all the breaking news at any given moment and the busyness of the legislative session, it's rare that we get to take a step back and give you some insight into those who have dedicated their careers to covering the newsmakers. You may not know this, but the reporters who cover the state capitol are part of a long legacy of a press corps known as the New York Legislative Correspondents Association, many of whom have won awards, but all have remained committed to upholding the spirit of the LCA. Producer Will Pettigo spoke with the reporters about their work at the Capitol and how the LCA has shaped their experience. Here's that story. We're here outside of the Legislative Correspondents Association press room inside the New York Capitol. The New York LCA is the longest running group that covers a Capitol in the nation, including the White House Press Corps. Now, this room has been here since 1890, but the reporters inside and the way that they report has changed tremendously. But the mission of the LCA remains the same, to inform the public, to provide transparency, and hold people in power to account. But what does a day in the life of the LCA look like? We'll unpack that.
And I'm proud to cast my vote in favor.
Normally, the legislative session in New York runs from January to June. Once the calendar is set, the busiest days at the state capitol are session days. But there are reporters who work out of the LCA Monday through Friday all year long.
Hi, I'm Dave Lombardo. I'm host of WCNY's Capitol Press Room, a daily public radio show broadcasting right here at the state capitol 5 days a week. You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're turning our attention to the upkeep and management of New York's local roads. Being in the middle of the action, at least when lawmakers are here, is important for me for a couple reasons. One, it actually means I get to have lawmakers sitting in the studio with us, and that just makes for a better interview when you can make that eye contact and you can have a rapport with someone. But it's also important for me to have a presence here because I'm engaging with people off the mic as well. I'm developing and nurturing relationships that I've been working on for more than a decade that I've been here at the state capitol. And it's also just fun to be part of history when it happens here, but also the more relaxed moments when I can just be hanging out with my colleagues and friends at other institutions. When I first started as a reporter, as an intern actually, for the Legislative Gazette in 2009, I felt like a real phony. I had a real case of imposter syndrome, and probably rightfully so, since I didn't know what was going on, didn't know what was happening. And at the time, and for years after that, I really looked up to the people who covered the Capitol, the people who made up the Legislative Correspondents Association. I thought of the people at the Times Union and that bureau as really the best of the best, something to strive for. Jimmy Vilkind, Casey Seiler, Jim Odato, Rick Carlin. There was the Associated Press with Mike Gormley. All these old kind of intimidating people. And now that I'm 35, I realize some of them weren't that old then. And it's an arena that is competitive every single day, but it's also one that is about supporting and lifting up our colleagues. So I'm really happy to be part of the LCA and, you know, take it as a real responsibility to try to keep its work going along.
Activists are pushing for Governor Hochul's proposal to go a little bit further.
There are many talented reporters where the LCA provides an opportunity to jumpstart their careers in an environment surrounded by newcomers and veteran journalists alike. When we conducted this interview with Raga Justin, she was reporting at the Capitol through a Hearst Fellowship. Now she reports full-time with the Times Union.
My idea of competing journalists at the state capitol has always been dog eat dog. Like, that's what I envisioned, and it has not been the case. You've got like the Post reporter who will come and chat, and, you know, let you know what he's working on, and then people from TV, from the AP, from any of the, you know, various organizations that are around. So I think maybe that has been a pleasant surprise, like just to be able to connect with other journalists on kind of like a person-to-person level and not always have to be on your like professional guard all the time. When I write my stories, I think of, you know, the people who live in the Capital Region. That's our primary coverage area. We write a lot about the state government and the state government workforce, agencies, things like that, sort of the nitty-gritty day-to-day of, you know, what state government looks like. I actually think that there's a lot of room to grow and get people more engaged in what we do, which has always been the point, you know. The more people we can reach, the better for journalism.
All of the members in the LCA work for different news outlets, meaning no one reports for the LCA. Instead, they are members connected by their common purpose and role. And in a place as influential as the New York State Capitol, being part of the Legislative Correspondents Association means being part of history.
It's easy to forget at times in the hustle and bustle of our day jobs, but you know, history is all around us. It's a historic building. Many, many ambitious people have come through here, whether they were politicians, gubernatorial officials, or journalists themselves. And some of the best reporters here in the LCA have their names forever memorialized on the plaques right inside the entrance for winning either the Jay Gallagher Award, which is named in honor of the longtime Gannett chief up here in the Capitol, a real legend of reporting, as well as the Walter T. Brown Award, which also recognizes outstanding reporting. The Jay Gallagher Award is judged by journalists outside of New York, whereas the Walter T. Brown Award is judged by alumni of the LCA itself. Getting your name on that plaque is kind of that rare opportunity to, you know, make your mark on the building itself in ways that most people, despite their ambitions, despite all the hard work that they do for whatever cause, you know, just never have that chance. You know, Robert Caro, one of the most famous journalists in America, worked for a year here in the LCA. And while there is a historic display about some of his work, you know, he's best known for writing The Power Broker about Robert Moses many years ago. You know, he doesn't have his name on that wall. So the journalists that do, I believe, you know, rightfully feel very proud of their accomplishment to be recognized by their colleagues as, you know, producing the best work from the LCA each year.
Leaving your mark on the LCA isn't only about the articles you write, the stories you tell, or the perspective that you change through your reporting. Part of the LCA is about camaraderie and contributing to a legacy of civic responsibility that extends beyond your time in the room. More than just a job, journalism is a calling. And when that job is challenging, LCA members look after each other.
Albany's tough to report from. There's a lot going on. You have to decide what you want to cover, what you can't cover, what you have to set up. It takes a lot more organization. And you have to really work sources all the time, partly because sources are coming and going all the time. And so you have to continue to find new people, new perspectives, try to get the picture of the story as complete as possible. And that's not always easy because you've got the people in power who have these public relations staffs who can try to direct what the news is. We have to resist that and provide the news in a format and in a thorough way that the public can use to make their decisions about how they want their state to be run or how they want their community to be run. Like a lot of people who work in Albany, we've had chances to go to Washington, and you know, Albany is really, it's closer to the people. It's a fascinating place, but you know, a reporter can really get a lot more done in Albany, can affect real change, you know, find an issue that hasn't been looked at, give it some exposure, let the public figure out how they want to deal with it. But in Albany, you can really make that difference.
Within the White House Press Corps, New York's Legislative Correspondents Association, and others, the symbolic leader is sometimes referred to as the dean. The dean is typically a veteran journalist that embodies the spirit of the Corps.
To me, Jay Gallagher, who died a few years ago, he was the Gannett News Service chief. He was the epitome of what a dean is because he was respected by everyone. He worked really hard, but he was not arrogant. He was not a prima donna at all.
Then suddenly it came back on taxpayers to make up the difference.
He always asked similar question at every press conference. And I remember this, he goes, you know, when governors would go on and on about how great their program is, he would ask a simple question: how much is this going to cost? And if you think about it, that's a lot of what reporter should be asking of government, because taxpayers want to know. And Jay was great at that stuff.
While Jay Gallagher's name will forever remain a beacon light for future generations of LCA reporters through the Jay Gallagher Award, the LCA has a new dean, according to Michael Gormley.
I think that's Karen DeWitt, and I think she deserves that. And anyone asked me who the dean is, I would say Karen DeWitt of Public Radio.
I've had the job with Public Broadcasting, the stations across New York State since 1990. It's been an awesome career to have. And what's fun about working at the Capitol is it's sometimes I feel like it's entertainment just for reporters. You know, the politicians are, you know, acting out with their speeches, fighting with one another, posturing. You have lobbyists come up to you, staff members, sometimes even actual members of the public who come here in groups to, you know, advocate for a particular issue. And yeah, it's just like a wealth of people and important issues, and you know, I get to be in the middle of it. What could be more fun? To me, nothing.
As the day winds down at the New York State Capitol, session ends. Lawmakers go home and deadlines approach for reporters. For reporters like Elise Klein, the end of the day is showtime.
The final state budget, just do one April 1st.
The live hits are towards at the very end of my day, and basically that's when my story is totally wrapped up. I have the package all ready to go, my producers have it, and I'm basically fronting the package. It's the moment, kind of like a performance, where I get to show all the work then that I've put in throughout the day, which is a lot. I put in a lot of work into my stories every single day, so it's definitely exciting. The great thing about being a Capitol reporter is that you get to report on policies that impact so many people. And I get to interview lawmakers. When people come in for rallies or press conferences, I get to talk to real people who are impacted by these policies, by the funding that goes through the budget. And I think one of my favorite things about being a reporter is just that you get to meet so many cool people, and it gives you such a great perspective on really what it's like to be alive.
And like the reporters that were featured in that segment, longtime journalist Isabel Dolores D. Wiedemeyer also committed her career to covering state politics. The LCA didn't allow women to be included in the organization when it was first created. But when it finally did, Wiedemeyer became one of the first women to be admitted in 1967. We spoke with the trailblazer about her career and legacy. Here's that interview.
I can take points in my life and say that a newspaper headline was involved with it. Newspapers were important. The important things appeared there, and people read them, and I read them. I loved learning, I loved reading, and I loved writing. When I graduated from George Washington, I was planning to try to get a newspaper job in the South and go back. I wanted to become a reporter, and of course, you can't start out as a reporter necessarily at a paper like the Washington Post. I asked a reporter there what I should do, and so this reporter said, go to a capital city where there are two newspapers competing for stories. And I went down to the newspaper the Sunday night, and I got editor and publisher out, and sure enough, there was an ad for the Knickerbocker News in Albany. And I applied, and I got the job. I started at the Knickerbocker News in 1966. You were assigned stories, and I remember hearing that one of the women was being sent to the Cohoes town meeting, and I thought, well, she has already has experience reporting. What will I be assigned to? And so I immediately asked, pointed out that I was going to be in the South in the next month in Alabama, and that could I try to get an interview with George Wallace? And they said yes. I think that the significance of my doing that story was that when politicians were coming through town, like Senator Kennedy, I was likely assigned to them. So it gets to be about December, and I remember I was sitting in the newsroom thinking, how could I get Mr. Fitchenberg to let me go to the state legislature? And when he walks right up and he says, how would you like to go to the state legislature? And so I was assigned as to be the correspondent over there and reported to work. I didn't know about the LCA, and I didn't know that I would become the first woman to be elected, and I didn't know when I was under consideration for becoming a member. And I just know that I went over there and I got to work. Starting out, I was interested in the subjects that I was reporting on, and I think you feel a responsibility immediately. This job is one in which you check facts and check facts. There's a standard that I was told of, that if you're doing something quite controversial, you must have at least two sources. I would insist upon a lot more. I would really want to be sure that I saw it from every standpoint. And I remember when I was editing other reporters that someone once brought me the story, and as they turned the story in and they left, they said, oh, well, the Association of Realtors are going to be really annoyed about this. And I said, well, call them up right now and find out and get that into the story. And I think that's the kind of thing that you have to think about. It was a time where one generation was turning on and dropping out, and there was a protest for the Vietnam War. There was certainly a big movement for against racism and the women's movement. And there also was a coming of age of people who were under 21. There was an effort to get voting for 18-year-olds, because if they could go off to war, they ought to be able to vote. And so all these issues were coming up. The environment was becoming an issue. So the legislature was really important in terms of how they were going to react to those things and how they were going to act on them. One of the things that I am proud of about this is that the next year after I left Albany, UPI and Gannett sent women to cover the state legislature. I'm just so grateful that I had that experience. I wanted to be a reporter, and I worked at it, and I wrote stories. And I loved what I was doing. I loved working. The year I was at the Post, I remember hating for it to be Saturday because I couldn't go to work. And there's always another story to do. Something to learn. And I see them all the time now. Even now when I'm not working as a journalist every day. And sometimes I call reporters and tell them something.
And for more information on the work, legacy, and career of Dee Wiedemeyer, you can visit our website. That's at nynow.org. And the state capitol building that the reporters work out of is also historic. It took about 3 decades to build before then-Governor Teddy Roosevelt officially decided to stop working on the building, even though it technically wasn't finished. Through the years, there have been many changes and additions to the building, but the building stands tall today with a lot of the original architecture in place. If you've never been, it's a beautiful sight to see, and we wanted to give you a look inside.
2 p.m. tour. You guys made it. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Albany. We're going to take the next 45, 50 minutes, a nice leisurely walk through the Capitol. All right, follow me.
My name is Matt, and I have been a tour guide since August 27th, 2012.
We're going to fill up this elevator. I assure you that we can probably all fit in here. All right.
I feel unbelievably lucky because we get to talk about New York State history. We get to talk about culture. We get to talk about art every day. I could not imagine that a job like this would exist, but it does.
Couple steps down, feel free to take a seat. You're already taking photographs. This is what I want to see. New York spent a lot of money on the Civil War, right? More money than any state. We provided more guns, more bullets, more everything toward the cause. And more New Yorkers died fighting in the Civil War than any state. So we come out of the war victorious. We want to celebrate. We want to memorialize the situation, right? The history.
Well, we chose to build a new capital. Our tour guides, not only do they need to know the ins and outs of the building and what type of stone is behind me, but they also need to know where any visitors are supposed to go for whatever needs they have that day. Our detail gets extremely granular. Lucky for us, we found some of the last original tile floor in the building under some 1950s floor. And this is Minton tile from the Minton China Company out of England. Since they are still around, if one of the tiles here cracks or breaks, they can make us a replica of a tile that they made us over 100 years ago. How amazing is that? All right, follow me. We can thank the OGS design and construction crew who have done reports on the building. There are historic reports, architecture reports that tell us how many windows there are, how many columns, how many arches, each stone, each tile, what was really original, what was replica, what's not. And we need that information because we get those questions every day from visitors.
Was this the first building to have electricity in Albany?
This was one of the first government buildings in the country with electric lighting. The New York State Capitol is extremely complicated, right? Right off the bat, it has to do with the architects. You know, usually you have one architect, they come up with one single beautiful design and they roll it out and there's a completion date. But for our Capitol, it did not work out that way, right? We had five architects in total. We have about 5 to 6 different architectural styles within the building. Architects didn't agree with what the previous architect might have done. We talk about Henry Hobson Richardson being the main architect for the Senate side of the building, but he never touched the Senate staircase. It was his architectural partner, Leopold Eitelitz, who did something completely different. I mean, it is so complicated. But if anything, it makes it really, really interesting and exciting. And I think that's really why visitors are drawn. And I mean, there was someone on the tour today that I know has taken our tour probably 5 or 6 times. All right, this is it. This is the New York State Assembly Chamber, right? We need both chambers in order to get those bills voted on, right? Majority vote yes, and to the governor's desk for a signature. I love New York State, and so my background is in geography, and my specialty was New York State geography. Just an obsession of New York on the map, an obsession of everything within that map. Landmarks, cities, towns, historic events. You know, the majority of the American Revolution was fought on New York State soil. That's amazing. You know, like, New York really is a special place as far as national history. This is what we call the Great Western Staircase. This staircase took about 12 years to build. Every bit of the stone was imported from Scotland. It's a sandstone. It was ideal for carving. It was covered in hay to keep it moist on its transport here to Albany. Once it arrived, the blocks were set and the carvers got onto the stone and carved in place. The Great Western Staircase, the public knows it as the $1 million staircase. I think that's the perfect representation. It might be one type of architecture, but there are 77 famous faces, and many of them are New Yorkers, and they are all diverse backgrounds, right? You have women, you have plenty of famous men, right? But you know, we have Frederick Douglass, we have Susan B. Anthony, we have these figures in history that just remind visitors of how important our American history is. If anything, the staircase is really that it's a showcase of American history, right? Not just New York State history, but really New York's involvement in national history. The response we want from visitors who take our tours and see our exhibits, it's really that they walked away learning something. Really anything, even if it was 10%, 1% that they got, at least they were learning something about New York State, something that matters. On the Capitol tour side, you know, my main goal is to let people know that this is a public building. You know, this is not some fortress that you're not allowed to enter. And I think there's a major misnomer of people thinking that they can't come into this building. You know, you walk in and you see a security guard and you see metal detectors. And I think sometimes people won't even ask if they could go any further. They'll just see that and just turn around and leave. And that is absolutely not what people should do. You know, just come inside. It's open to the public. get through the metal detector and you can roam the halls. Take pictures of some of the most beautiful architecture that you will ever see. I mean, it's here. Also letting people know that they can become part of the legislative process. When New Yorkers take our tours and they did not know that they can watch a legislative session live, or know that they can even be involved in that process, there's a message being lost there. And so our tour guides really try to remind the public that this is an accessible building and the work that's happening in this building will affect your life. And if you choose not to be involved, that's your choice. But there are consequences to choices.
And for more information on the history and architecture of the state capitol, you can visit our website. That's at nynow.org. Well, that does it for this edition of New York Now. Thank you for tuning in and see you next week.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET.